Good morning, brothers and sisters. Happy Sabbath. It's always a blessing to share in the Word of God. And it's new every day. It's never the same. If it was the same, we could have stopped long time ago to study from the Word of God. But it's new every day. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you that we have today to worship you. Thank you that we have today to read from your word. But Lord, we pray that you forgive us. We pray you cleanse us, that Lord, our worship this morning will be acceptable to you. But we pray, Lord, that thy Holy Spirit be our teacher. Lord, I pray that you hide me. Lord, I pray that you take me out of the way that you can speak to your children. You can speak to all of us. So we thank you and praise you. Let thy angels surround us as we open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As always, I hope you have your Bible right next to you, because we can have our opinions. Everybody we all have different opinions. But the Word of God at least is a reference, and we can all agree that we believe in the Word of God. So I'm going to try to, as always, let the Bible speak, and I put my words there as little as possible. Not so many words into the Bible. Because this is the one thing that Jesus left us that we can all agree on as we look forward to Him speaking to our hearts. So get hold of your Bible and let's study together. Now today, if you are going to take something home, you are going to be with me until the end. Because at the beginning, you probably will not get much out of what we are discussing. But at the end, there's something there. And I'm sure it will be uplifting to all of us. So stay with me all the way until the end, and probably there's something for you, right? Now, first, before we start, I want us to agree on what are we going to call this name, or what? How do you pronounce this name? Just help me. Tyre. I could have said it differently. Okay, Tyre is the name we are going to, is how we are going to pronounce it. All right, the King of Tyre. Now, in my language, I could have called it Tyre, but Tyre is good. Okay, I'm glad I asked that. So the King of Tyre is our topic today. Now, Malachi read that scripture for us, and thank you, Malachi, for reading it. I want you to go to that scripture like once more and read it with me. Or maybe we might not read the whole of it, but I'm going to ask you a question which you probably help me answer. The King of Tyre is our topic today. Now, if you go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, now Malachi read it for us. No, 12, 21, sorry. If you read that 21 and 22, how can you describe to somebody the picture of Tyre? Jesus is using it. There are two other cities there, Chorazin and Bethsaida. But what can you say about Tyre? A nice city, a blessed city? What does that statement from Jesus depict about this city? Right? What is about this city? He says, woe unto the Chorazin, woe unto the Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and how do you pronounce that one? Sidon? How do you say Sidon maybe? If the works that were done in Tyre and Sidon, if those works were done in Tyre and Sidon, what could have happened? They would have repented. What is the picture of Tyre? How could you say, well, how was Tyre? He says, if these works that were done here, and those works, think about miracles, think about Jesus being there himself. He says, if those were done in Tyre, they could have repented. And he says, they could have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Now that tells you there was something in Tyre. Something more peculiar. Tyre has some sort of a fame, I could say, that Jesus was talking about. Tyre has something special. As Jesus is saying, if I took all these things that I've done here and put them right in Tyre. So Tyre must have been what? A little bit on an extreme end. But he's saying, if all these was done there, what could have happened to them? They would have repented. Well, that means Chorazin and Bethsaida were not doing very well. Maybe they weren't repenting. And Jesus is saying, if all these works were done in Tyre, Tyre is on another extreme end, they would have repented. They would have repented. Now, have you ever come to a point where you think, and I've thought about this, and probably I've talked about it with somebody. Now somebody can say, if I were there in the time of Jesus and I saw him with my eyes, I would have done some things differently. Or I would have been a better Christian than I am today. I wish I could see those things that Jesus did with my own eye. Somebody has ever thought about that? What could be different if you saw them with your own eyes that cannot be done today? That's kind of a thought. And I've heard somebody say, why don't we see those miracles that Jesus did today? Why are they not there today? It's kind of a thought that if I was there and saw it with my eyes. But look, Chorazin and Bethsaida, Jesus is talking to them and saying, if these things I did to you here were done in Tyre, they could have repented. That was Tyre in the time of Jesus. But I want us to go back and look at the history of Tyre. Tyre as a city before we talk about Tyre as the king of Tyre. Now I got a picture here that could probably show you where Tyre was in the times of Jesus. Tyre was in this region here. Now, if you can probably see a little dot down here, and Sidon is right next to it. Those cities were always together. They're like twins. But Tyre was built into the, right at the shore of the Mediterranean. It's not much on land. It's actually a little rock island into the sea. But Sidon was there. But they were always together. So when you talk about Tyre, you have to talk about Sidon at the same time. Very important cities at that time. That's how they looked like. They were all in the land of Canaan, but later on, this is going to change. So when the children of Israel come in here, everything changes, and today, it probably looks like this. So that will be the land of Canaan of those days. Tyre will be right there, and Sidon is close next to it. So it's right in, we could say today, it's at the south border of Lebanon, a few miles from Beirut and bordering Israel. That's where Tyre is today. Now Tyre, like I said, was built on a little rock island, and I think some people say Tyre means rock. So it was curved into the sea. Sidon was on land, and so it served as a harbor, and that's where all the ships docked, and there was a big business going on in Tyre. They had quite a good economy. They manufactured the purple dye, they sold it, so the ships would come to the harbor. It was a major hub of business in those days. Very, very good economically, and they had the money and everything. Now, That's Tyre those days and Tyre today. Now, Tyre was very, very instrumental to the children of Israel when they came in. And probably we are not going to say much about why that was, but let's read a few. Now, if you got your Bible, let's read a few verses. Genesis chapter 10 and verse 15. Genesis chapter 10, verse 15. Tyre must have gotten its name from somebody. Genesis chapter 10, verse 15. It says, "And Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth." No, not Tyre, but Sidon. Like I said, Sidon and Tyre, we'll always put them together. Now, Sidon got its name from the firstborn of Canaan. So it tells you it's a very old city. It goes way back to this family that was seated on earth. Tyre was pretty old. Now Tyre, when the children of Israel are coming in from Egypt, was supposed to be taken. Because I showed you that is both all the land of Canaan. The Canaanites lived there. So it was supposed to be conquered too, and the children of Israel were supposed to take it. But they did not. They did not. And if you read Joshua, let's read Joshua. Joshua chapter 13. Joshua chapter 13. And what verse are we going to read? We're going to read verse 6. If you read Joshua chapter 13, verse 6, it says, "All the inhabitants of the hill country from Lebanon into Misrepoth, Maim, and all the Sidonians, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel." All right? "Them will I drive out. Only divide thou it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance as I have commanded thee." So they were supposed to be driven out, and that land was supposed to be given to the children of Israel. But no. Later on, they were not driven out. Let's read from Judges chapter 1. Judges chapter 1. And we'll read verse 31. Judges chapter 1 and 31 verse. Let's see. So the plan was they were to be taken out, and that land was supposed to be given to the children of Israel. So they were supposed to divide it. And verse 31 of Judges chapter 1 says, Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Acor, nor the inhabitants of Sidon, nor of Ehlab, nor of Ekrib, nor of all those other tribes." I wanted us to stop at Sidon. So they were supposed to be driven out. Asher was given that portion of land, but they were not driven out. So in Judges, we see they were not driven out. Sidon and Tyre remained the way they were. It forms the border now of Asher. So Asher took the land all the way up. It became right at the border. These two cities remained and kingdom. They were actually a kingdom. They remained. They were not taken out. So in the history of the children of Israel, we see Tyre coming up again and again, Sidon coming up again and again. What is this that is so special about Tyre that Jesus is talking about? Let's read together from 2 Samuel chapter 5, 2 Samuel chapter 5, and we read verse 11. We'll read verse 11. Tyre starts popping out again and again. Remember, they've now become the neighbors of the children of Israel. There's kind of an interaction that is going to continue. Chapter 5, verse 11. "And Hiram, king of Tyre sent messages to David. All right? And cedar trees and carpenters and masons, and they built David what? An house. Remember, they were supposed to be taken out. They were not taken out. Now they are the ones providing carpenters, the cedar trees, to build the house of David. Hiram comes up again in the time of Solomon. Let's read from 1 Kings chapter 5. 1 Kings chapter 5. And there we read verse 8. Chapter 5 of 1 Kings. And then we read verse 8. Verse 8 says, "And Hiram, again, sent to Solomon, saying, I have considered the things which thou sentest to me for, and I will do all thy desire concerning timber of cedar and concerning timber of fir." And in verse 9, you'll see, so Hiram sends servants, you know, they take the trees. And, you know, they had the sea, so they cut the trees, they floated the trees on the sea and sent them down to Jerusalem. That's Hiram the king. Tyre was a very, very rich kingdom. In the times of the children of Israel, they were very rich. But what is special about them? Now, I'm going to tell you before we read. Their hearts were not with God. They were totally away from God. And that's why Jesus said, if only we did this work, they would have repented. But that leaves another question open. Why would they have repented if they're the worst of the worst? I mean, it's like, no, they're far away from God. That's why they're used as an example when Jesus is giving that example. So they're not a good example. All right, let's now look at the king of Tyre. Now, the king of Tyre, we are going to read from Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. And we are going to see who this king was and what was his character. Ezekiel chapter 28. And we'll start from verse 1. We'll start from verse 1. Ezekiel 28, verse 1. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God. Though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Is there a man who can do that? I don't know if somebody today can wake up and say, I am like God. But there's one who says, I am like God. But this is a man. He says he's a man, but he seems to think that he is God. Verse number 3. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Is that true? Is that a compliment, or it's kind of a ridicule? When you read that verse, anybody with a different translation, is that a compliment or a ridicule? It says, thou art wiser than Daniel. Now, what does that sound to you? Is that true that he is wiser, or is just a ridicule that you think you are wiser than Daniel? All right? I mean, God is saying he's... Why was Daniel wiser? Why was Daniel so wise? Let's It's because he had wisdom from who? Where does wisdom come? The wisdom comes from God. He is not with God. So is he wiser than Daniel? So definitely he's not wiser than Daniel. That's not a compliment. That's what? A ridicule. I mean, sometimes, like the Bible says, you think you're wise, you know, you go in your ways and think that you're wise, but you're not wise. Because the wisdom, the real wisdom comes from God. It's not being wise. All right, let's keep going. Behold, we read number three, verse number four. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures with his wisdom. And verse 5 says, by thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. Now, how can you describe the king of Tyre? If somebody asks you, give me four characteristics of the king of Tyre, what would you say? Number one, what would you say? From what we've read, what are the characteristics of the king of Tyre? Pride, definitely. That's pride. What else? Rich. How is he rich? From what is he rich? From his own wisdom. It says from his wisdom, he is very rich. Now, I doubt whether that's good wisdom. It sounds bad to me. All right? It sounds to me like a corrupt individual who knows how to take things from others, who knows how to cheat others and get more. That's the kind of wisdom that is being described here. Now, and there are many people like that in trade. They know how to, you know, do all the corrupt means and be rich. He is rich because of his own wisdom. Not rich. You know, you can be rich. I mean, Abraham was rich. You can be rich like Abraham because God blessed him and God gave him the riches. But you can be rich with your own wisdom. So the king of Tyre is rich, but through his own wisdom. Anything else? How can you describe the king? Yes.
An economic god, an economic warfare.
Right. He says he's a god, so he can. Yeah. So, isn't that, you know, power and money and, you know, economic prowess? He's decided, I am there. I am above everybody. So I can be like God. And, you know, that's the king of Tyre. You can list all of them. But I picked those four, and what we have said, that's the king of Tyre. He knows it all. He has his own wisdom. He has used his wisdom, which is definitely corrupt wisdom, to earn economic, you know, prowess. And he wants to be like God. He wants to be in power. That's the king of Tyre. But I want us to read, and I'm going to skip a lot. When you go home, you can read the whole of that chapter. Now, from where we stopped, it's talking about the destruction that he's going to face. But I want us to skip and go way down. Maybe I can read verse 12, or maybe I'll just go straight to verse 13. Those verses in between there talk about his destruction. Now, God is saying, I'm not going to let you continue like this. You're going to be cut off. You're going to be destroyed. Read with me verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, and was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tablets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. I'm going to pause for a moment before we read verse 14. Think about that verse. There's a lot there. But verse 14 says, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have said thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Who is that? Satan? Right. Who is that? Satan. Who was in the Garden of Eden? Adam? Eve? But that doesn't sound like Adam, Eve. It sounds like who? Satan. Adam was not covered with those stones. Adam was human. So what are we moving from? We are moving from a human king to who? To Satan. We're moving from a human being, king of Tyre, but slowly God is saying, I compare this king to who? To Satan. Whatever the king is doing is just like Satan. He wants to be God. He wants to sit on the seat of God. And now God is telling us, he was in the Garden of Eden. That was Satan. And you were covered. You were perfect when you were created. The king of Tyre is being compared to Satan. But I'll read verse 16 and we'll stop that there, and you can go back and read by yourself. Verse 16 says, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. What does that tell us when we see a lot of evil, when we see suffering, when we see death? What does that tell us? Who is behind all that? Satan. Does that tell us that we can be agents of Satan, and when God looks at us, can see behind who is doing those things? It's not actually the human king who is doing those things. God is saying, there's somebody behind that king. It's not actually him. There's somebody behind it. Sometimes when we look at people and we think, why did they do that? How can you do this? We probably should think about who is behind this. Somebody else is behind the actions that we see, and not the very person. And sometimes people look at you and say, I thought I saw an angel today. It's because you meet somebody and you think, this cannot be human because I needed this at that very moment, and somebody came in and you say, I thought it was really an angel. Yeah. Was an angel. So it goes two ways. I'm going to leave it there. The king of Tyre. But I wanted us to connect the fact that the king of Tyre and this city, that's why Jesus uses it as the worst example. And Jesus is saying, if we did these things that we have done here today, that city which was headed by Satan himself, the king of Tyre compared to Satan himself, They actually, those people could have repented. That is Tyre, and that's the king of Tyre. Now, not long ago, I walked into a laundry place. But when I'm coming in, I found two ladies standing outside. And these two ladies were smoking. It's very early in the morning, there's nobody around, nobody in the laundry room, and they're standing outside, they were smoking. As a human being, I came out thinking, why would two women just come stand out of a laundry place and smoke right at the door? I'm like, I don't even want to get close to that smoke. And as I'm thinking about those things, I took my basket, didn't say hi to them, got into the laundry room, and I assumed everything is fine. I don't want to see that. You know, already I had already thought about it and made my own judgments. And I just went in and started putting... I didn't know that they were the ones cleaning that place. So after they were done with their smoking, they came into the laundry room. And I'm there putting in my... It's not my culture not to say hi to somebody. It kind of... You will regret it. So they're coming back in. They're mopping the floor. And I'm regretting that I didn't even say hi to them. And now I can't even look at them. But then the other human nature is telling me, oh, but... You know, that was this certain kind of people. You know, they are another crop of people. After a few minutes, as I'm finishing, one of the ladies came to me and said, hi, how are you today? And I looked at her and I said, I'm fine. But you don't know what she did to me. She put charcoal, call them what? She put coals on my head. The whole day I kept thinking about these ladies and what the worst mistake I had made. I could have said hi to them. But why did I say hi to them? Because I thought they are another different crop of people standing outside a laundry room smoking. To me that was... Have you looked at somebody and thought, I'm not sure they will make it to heaven. I'm not sure where they are. Or maybe have you ever thought to yourself that I have gone too far that maybe I can't come back? Or I've done some things and I'm not sure whether I can really come back. Or I'm not even sure I was forgiven. Or you think that you've gone a little out of place. Now Jesus says, Tyre would have repented. The city that was headed by Satan himself, he says they would have repented. That's why he says to Bethsaida, he says, they would have repented. The miracles I've done, the word that I've preached, those people would have repented. What does that tell us? What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, nobody is too far away. Nobody has gone too deep that my blood is not sufficient for them. No one is such an outcast that they cannot come to me. Even the city that was headed by Satan himself, the king of Tyre, if I did these miracles there, if I preached this word there, those people would have repented. You have received the best that you can receive. I don't see why you can't repent. That's what Jesus is telling them. I know why he's saying that they would have repented. Why? Because he says, whosoever shall believe in me shall be what? Shall be saved. That's what Jesus says. It doesn't matter even if the devil was the king. They will accept him.
guess I'm going backwards. I want us to look at the proof that Tyre would have repented. That city that is being given as the worst example in the times of Jesus, Matthew chapter 12, verse 21 and 22, Jesus wants to take some time off. And you can go with me to Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 and 22. Jesus has been doing a lot of work and he wants to take some leave and just walk around. He departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Now he says, we're going to take some vacation. Let's go off to Tyre and Sidon, the same cities he was talking about. And we know this story. The woman comes. It's a Canaanite woman. It's not a one of the children of Israel. The woman comes to him and says, Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And what does Jesus do? You can read the whole story there. I just put 21 and 22. In verse 23, Jesus does not answer, looks at her and like, what are you asking? And Jesus does not answer and just keeps quiet. You know? And after a while, Jesus answers the woman and says, you know what? I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus tells her, no, I didn't come for you. I came for the lost children of Israel. You're not part of them. And we know the story. The woman answers back, you know, and says, yeah, maybe I can read verse 26. The woman says, it's not meat to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she says, and she said, verse 27, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Jesus is saying, this is not for you. I can't take what I have for the children of Israel and give it to you. And the woman is like, yeah. But when those crumbs fall from the table, who takes them? The dog takes them. So I am the dog. I will eat the crumbs. And the woman is challenging Jesus, saying, no. What does that say about the woman? Now Jesus tells us that. Jesus tells us, he says, verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. That's a woman from Tyre, a Canaanite woman. He says, great is thy faith. Now that says Jesus was right. Tyre would have done what? Would have repented. But Jesus did not go there because he said, I was sent to the children of Israel. But yet, there are still people who have great faith in Tyre. What does that tell us? What does that tell us? He came for everybody. Nobody is way too far to be reached by this grace. Nobody is too dirty to be washed by this blood. And one example, and we're finishing. Just to prove that Tyre would have repented. Now, the disciples, Paul in Acts chapter 21, Acts chapter 21, verse 3 and 4. Now, Paul is on a journey. And he's heading, I think, to Rome, if I'm not wrong. In verse 3 of Acts chapter 21, now when he had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. For there, the ship was to unlade her burden. So they're landing in Tyre. And what happens there? Verse number 4. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days. who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go to Jerusalem because they're going to arrest him and so on. Who is advising Paul? Disciples in where? In Tyre. And they're the ones who even have the Spirit to tell him, we know what's going to happen to you in Jerusalem. Please don't go. Tyre would have repented, and we see the fruits of what's going on in Tyre. Now, of course, we know Tyre was destroyed later on, but there were many of God's children that were there. Now, as we finish, I'm going to read this. I want us to read this text together. Now, Sister White, I think this I took it from Desire of Ages. I didn't put the page number here. But she says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. The rich, the poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, does that apply to us today? Does that apply to me and you? One of our friends, he's now resting in the Lord. We used to have discussions and we could read John 3:16. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but everlasting life. The word there is whosoever believeth in him. And my friend will go, and I guess that's what he believed, not that I know he believed in Christ. I mean, there are things that we might have, little things, and Jesus is not concerned about those little things. And my friend will go, yes, whosoever, but amongst a certain group which is already predetermined. Whosoever believes amongst the God's chosen people, not amongst everybody. And I will go, but is that really what it, whosoever? He didn't say whosoever amongst my children of Israel, whosoever amongst the Seventh-day Adventists who believe, whosoever amongst whatever, tribe of people, group of people. And we'll keep going and going. I told him, no, I don't think that's like, whosoever. He says, whosoever believes in him. Now, here's a woman from Tyre who was not an Israelite. She's a Canaanite woman. Here are disciples in Tyre. At least for the woman, we are told they are Canaanites. You can say disciples, maybe they're the ones who fled Jerusalem and went to Tyre. No, the woman was a Canaanite woman. And Jesus says, she has the greatest faith that I have seen. There is no dirt that you can carry that Jesus cannot wash away. There is no act that is way too far that Jesus cannot clean up. There is nobody in our eyes that has gone so far from Jesus that they cannot come back. Now, I'm a victim of that. Let me not look at somebody and think, oh, that's another crop of people. Jesus wants them. My neighbor, your neighbor, is not on the other side that Jesus doesn't want to draw them. Everybody, Jesus wants them. And Jesus wants to save all of them. And when we go out there to look for people, and again, when we go out with our books, mostly when we started this street evangelism, now we go out there, and I have the book on my hand. First, I look at the face of somebody before I approach them, and I'm thinking, are they friendly or not? So am I giving my books, my literature, only friendly people? Even that doesn't look friendly, still Jesus wants them.
So sometimes we don't want to look at the face of the person. Just walk to the person and tell them, this is what I got for you. And I suffered from that, and my heart always, you know, pumped harder when I'm approaching somebody and thinking, are they going to turn me down? Are they going to say whatever they say? Everybody is a candidate for heaven. In our eyes, we don't know. Jesus says, whosoever, doesn't matter. Everybody's a candidate for heaven. And whatever we do, the time we pray, let us remember that everybody is a candidate for heaven. Except the one who denied grace. Who is that? Satan himself. That's the one whose fate is already sealed. Now, he can do everything to get us together so that we go with him. That's the only one who's not a candidate, and we don't even have the capability to talk to him because, you know, we are not. I'm going to encourage you today that Jesus wants to save us all. Jesus wants to take every burden, every little thing that we have, no problem, no act, nothing is too far from him. Sometimes we get discouraged because we prayed and prayed again. I get discouraged sometimes. And every time the Holy Spirit says, are you forgetting the good things that I've done to you? Are you forgetting where I got you from? Have you forgotten where? At least you can count on those and know that nothing can stand between me and you, and nothing is so hard for me. Now I can save you. I can take you all the way. Now we enter in a difficult phase of trials and temptations and all this trying time ahead of us. I pray that no one will give up. Even when the sole of our feet will be pierced by nails, I pray that no one will give up and say, this is too painful to take. You can say, well, there's nothing so much pain than what he bore on the cross for me. And I pray that everyone will be there when Jesus comes for us. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for you put your word together for us. The Lord, we may hear you speaking what you spoke thousands of years ago. And the Lord, like the people those days, we may be encouraged. And the Lord, we may be blessed. We know you're soon coming for us. But Lord, we still live in this world where there are challenges, where there are ups and downs, pain, suffering, a lot of uncertainty, Lord. But you told us before that these things will go on and will happen. But the promise is sure that when we see all this, we know that you are soon coming. Now we come today with our hearts. Lord, we can't even open them. We pray that you open our hearts. You put your word in our hearts. You write it, Lord, in our hearts. And as we leave today, renew the promise. The Lord, you'll carry us in your hands through these times. I pray for each and everyone, those going through difficult times. Lord, be with them. Let the Holy Spirit speak to them every moment. Pray for those that are still giving their lives. Please, Lord, be with them. We also pray for our families, our neighbors, our friends that we love most. The Lord, you may also bring them into the fold, that all of us will be ready and ready to meet you when you come for us. Be with us as we leave this sanctuary. Be with us as we go through the week. Lord, we know in your mercy you'll give us another chance to come back together and worship you. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.